Entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy and remain the key to fueling our nation's growth. Our very own Mark Haney is on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution in the hometown we love. He is the ultimate small business coach, sounding board, and storyteller. But to us, he's still good old Marky from down on the block. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Ha ha, all right. It's good old Marky from down on the block. I love that new intro, Marcus. This is the Haney Biz Show. The Mark Haney Show was the Haney Biz Project. I'm going to still get used to this new name change, I'm sure, throughout the show, Marcus. But you know what? Our show is about entrepreneurship. It's about winning. It's about entrepreneurs being the heroes of the American economy. I mean, entrepreneurs solve the world's biggest problems, and it's up to us to help celebrate their achievements. I am here with my main man, Marcus Haney, the Marine Entrepreneur. Are you hanging or banging, buddy?
Well, first off, I would like to say I'm thankful that we have the same name, so technically it's my name show, too.
The Mark Haney
Show. I want to thank you a little bit for that, so yeah. I appreciate it. But to answer your question, my mission is full speed ahead right now, so I think I'm doing a little extra banging in order to keep my mission alive and moving forward. I've got to keep banging every day, but sounds like from the new intro, you're doing a little banging yourself.
Well, you know what?
Huh?
When we're banging, we are at our very best, at our very best opportunity. And with this show, if you look back, we're 3 years into the show.
Can't believe
and
that.
We've decided to redouble our commitment to the entrepreneurial revolution. And which kind of begs the question, what is the revolution? What does that feel like? Marcus, we're starting to see signs of entrepreneurship beginning to excel, right? Beginning to ignite, right? We've been trying to ignite these flames, and it feels like it's starting to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, we were out at the Urban Hive the other night, and the community that traveled upon that location at the over there at the cannery was awesome to see, like guys over at Josh Wood and Region Business, and the ability to take the folks here in Sacramento to combine them into an effort to grow entrepreneurship and, you know, jobs creations and things along those lines is really awesome.
Without a doubt. I mean, being alone as an entrepreneur is never fun. And so many times we do feel alone as entrepreneurs. We're these small business guys. We start off with this great obsession, right? We're going to change the world. And then we realize along the way, it's not easy, right? We get knocked down a time or two. And when you get knocked down, you got to figure out a way to get back up. And when you have somebody by your side or a group of people by your side, it's so much easier. And I think that's what we were doing the other day over at the Urban Hive. And I think that's what the Mark Haney Show is all about, is you don't have to feel alone. You got good old Marky from down on the block. He's your sounding board. He's your best buddy. He knows what it's like to get knocked down. And you know what? Maybe when you hear the stories of entrepreneurship, the stories that we talk about on this show, you do not feel quite so alone, right? You feel like you have friends who are going through the same struggles that you might be going through as well.
Well, I think you put the proof in the pudding with that shirt you're wearing today. For those of you that are not watching on Facebook or on any other social media, your shirt says the power of with, right? So I guess that's kind of what you're getting to,
right? Yeah, with one another. We do not, we all try to do things on our own sometimes, and nobody builds great businesses alone. We know that. We've heard that time and a time again on this show from the great stories. You think back, Marcus, 3 years in, the best stories are the stories of teamwork.
Right.
People who have battled and battled and battled, and then they look back at that turning point, that breakthrough moment, and it was always where their team was involved. They picked one another up, and they found a way to build these incredible businesses. We can think about Dale Carlson, the founder of the Sleep Train.
No,
right?
He
built that business not alone. He built that with his team.
For his team.
Look at the opportunity that that came out of the Sleep Train. And I think no matter what show you think back on, there's always been this struggle. I think back to Rob Awalt, the NFL Rookie of the Year. He is also an entrepreneur. He's building this title company of sorts, not the best term for that, but basically an escrow company that focuses on reverse mortgages. And right in the middle of that, he gets pancreatic cancer, right? So he battles a life-threatening disease. He figures out a way to keep his business afloat while battling cancer. I mean, how...
Unbelievable.
These are the stories that we share on the Mark Haney Show. These are the stories that we've been sharing over the years. But, you know, it hasn't been easy. I started off nervous. Still sometimes get a little bit of butterflies before the show.
In your own trough of sorrow a little bit, probably, right?
But who have I had by my side this entire time, Marcus? I've had our team here at Haney Biz, and I've had you. And I really, really appreciate you sticking with me. We call that the power of with. And without Marcus Haney, I would be nowhere. So thank you for inspiring me, for staying alongside me through this journey we call now. The Mark Haney Show.
Fired up. Excited to see what's in the future.
Well, we have, you know, I went into Starbucks. You know, stuff's starting to click around here, Marcus. And, you know, we always talk about Marquee Media helping make me famous. Well, I think Marquee Media may have some competition. I went into Starbucks the other morning about a week ago and was like, hey, Mark, what's up? You know, they all know me over at Starbucks and everything. And then I looked on the billboard there at Starbucks, right? It's this little chalkboard and it says, the customer of the week. And guess whose name was on the customer of the week chalkboard?
Marquee Media.
No, it was not. It was Mark Haney, man.
Oh, there you go.
And that prompted us to go, you know what? They know me, so I want to recognize my buddies over at Starbucks. Everybody out there who's battling it early in the morning at Zero Dark 30, serving coffee, working their butts off. You know what? You are my people. Can't wait to help bring you into the world of entrepreneurship and help you to achieve your dreams. And today, that's what we are going to be doing. We're going to be talking to people who know how to win. Later in the show, we will meet a man who looks out for entrepreneurs and small business, who brokers the deals to help government. Mr. Josh Wood, the CEO of Region Business, is in the house. We're also going to meet the Senior VP of Public Affairs for the California Apartment Association, Deborah Carlton, and Bruce Hester, property owner and entrepreneur. But coming up after the break, we will be joined by Monique Brown. She is the media maven and VP of Media Operations at Haney Biz. We're going to talk about my mission. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. Brought to you courtesy of Silvers HR. This is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the place where our crazy dreams seem just a little less crazy. Mark Haney is our chief dreaming officer. He knows the right people, the right tactics, and the right philosophies to win. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back. This is the Mark Haney Show, and it's brought to you courtesy of Comstocks Magazine and California Backyard. I'm Mark Haney. And today I have the privilege of being joined by Monique Brown. She is the vice president over here at Haney Biz. We are working very closely together these days, and we have in the past as well, to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution. How you doing, Monique?
I'm doing great.
Well, welcome back. Let's talk about what's happening here at Haney Biz. You've been on the job for 2.5 weeks, but you and I have known each other for a number of years, and you are so instrumental in this movement we see in entrepreneurship here in the region.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here again, and I understand that I get to turn the tables on you today a little bit.
Well, we are going to let it rip. This is, you know, the show is about our hometown, right? And I think there's hometowns around the world that probably face our same situation where, you know, you sort of get stuck. You might be reliant on one industry. In Sacramento, it's there's a lot of government stuff here. But you know what? Entrepreneurs are the heroes of American capitalism. They're the ones that figure out a way to change the world. And that drives economic growth, right? That means jobs. So if you want to let it rip, talk to me. I say it goes back and forth, Monique.
All right. Sounds good. This is going to be fun. So, I think let's just start with, we heard a little bit about kind of how you got here today, the last 3 years of work, but we've been talking a lot about where you're going with this. And I think one of the things that hooked me in is, you know, your vision of entrepreneurs helping entrepreneurs and that great picture, that great image of 100 millionaires in your backyard. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, we've been calling me the entrepreneur next door because a number of years ago I had a man move in next door to me and we became buddies, really extremely close friends, Tom Kandris. And I sort of realized that, entrepreneurs love another sounding board, and I joined the entrepreneur Entrepreneurs Organization with the influence of Tom, and realized that when entrepreneurs have some place to go where they can identify with one another, I kind of think of like Friends, right? The old TV show. When you feel like you have a place where you can sort of be yourself, it's so much. You don't feel so alone, and so that's what I think that's what the show is all about. And my vision, really, of the 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard. I sort of, if I have trouble sleeping at night, I always like to dream a little bit. I'm the chief dreaming officer. And one of the visions I have is that uniting these entrepreneurs to become like brothers and sisters. And I picture 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard. Basically, I'm up on stage. I'm talking, I'm celebrating our companies and the people who are helping me to chase my entrepreneurial dreams. And I'm picturing we're recognizing one another and the great things that we've been doing and the battle scars that we have. And I look around out into the audience and it's my 100 millionaire business partners, and they're all so close to one another because we're like one big team. And, it's that teamwork, I think, that makes it's most inspiring to me. If my, I'm invested into a couple dozen companies, and when those leaders, those presidents of those companies begin to bond together, it's so much more powerful than any of us alone. And so my dream means to me is the entrepreneurial revolution around the entire hometown set of entrepreneurs coming together as one. So starting with my 100 millionaire business partners in my backyard, but really creating a philosophical, a way of thinking where entrepreneurs want to be helping entrepreneurs.
Right. And at the end of the day, I think the why behind that we've talked about is because of the impact that they can have on their families and on their communities. So in their success, that really puts food on the table for your family. Yeah. It helps bring resources into your communities and grow the hometowns that we care so much about.
It does. I think for most of us, there's nothing more important than family. And, when I think about my mission statement, it's all around opportunity for my family, friends, and community. And as they succeed, I feel like I succeed. And so here at HaneyBiz, we sort of rally around that theme. As they succeed, we succeed. And when I think about my friends, I'm thinking about my business partners and my teammates here at HaneyBiz. When they succeed, when they buy their first house, when they are able to find new opportunity within our group of companies, when they are able to find opportunity outside our group of companies, I mean, it's so rewarding for me. There's nothing that makes me more proud than seeing my friends succeed. And so if my family's succeeding, my friends are succeeding, including my business partners and teammates, it's so rewarding. But when I see the hometown that I grew up in begin to succeed, there's nothing more satisfying than that. I mean, my grandson is playing Little League on the same place that I coach my son in Little League. Now he's playing there, and I played there as well. So when I see that hometown pride occur, there's nothing more satisfying than that. And then as the town begins to rally around, winning in business, I mean, there's nothing that I find more satisfying than that.
You get a little passionate about
that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I think we have a lot of different ways that we're going to try and help that happen here. The radio show is certainly one of them, but that's not the only thing going on here.
Well, no, and you are responsible for so much here at HaneyBiz, but I think we have this team effort where we're helping entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs, right? We talked about entrepreneurs being alone,
right?
It's a really scary feeling.
Right?
Yeah, you sort of get stuck wearing every hat, right? You're wearing the hat of the accountant. So you may be stuck, late at night doing your billing and getting that figured out. You might be stuck figuring out your marketing. You might be a great marketer, but you might not. And running sales, there's so many different things associated with running businesses that, it's tough to wear every hat alone.
And to do it well.
So I think that's what we're doing is we're helping connect people up, and we have some of our own services here at HaneyBiz as well.
looking at ways that we can help people focus on the thing that made them passionate about entrepreneurship in the first place.
And one of the big keys to that is really finding the financing, right? Finding the money, getting connected to the people that have the money. Here at Haney Biz, we have our own fund associated with a number of other funds and banks, and helping people get fuel on the fire. Because at the beginning, we get sort of stuck trying to get those first few sales and get our, maybe sometimes even getting out of the way of ourselves. But once we have the good idea, now it's time to throw some fuel on that fire. Now it's really time to get it funded.
And
that's what we like to do here.
Well, and the other thing that you've been doing recently, which it has taken off, actually, I think we have a wait list for this, is connecting with, you know, kind of these budding entrepreneurs in a small group setting called Hanging with Haney.
I love Hanging with Haney. I love hanging with the most ambitious people in Sacramento, right? I think that's one of the beauties of this occupation that I've chose, is I get to surround myself with the most successful people in Sacramento, the most ambitious people in Sacramento, the up-and-comers. So we have this thing we call Hanging with Haney, and it's really a bunch of entrepreneurs, people that might be at their earlier stages of business. They may be a little bit further along. But you know what? We all have the same stories, and I think when we're able to bounce our ideas off of one another, I mean, light bulbs go off. It's a time when we learn that, hey, we're not that different from one another. Entrepreneurship is it's a full-contact sport, and sometimes sharing our stories can be very therapeutic, but it's also a chance. What I found as the chief dreaming officer, what I've found is that the most successful entrepreneurs, they start off with these, I call them ridiculously big dreams, right? They might be dreams like starting an entrepreneurial revolution in their hometown, or it might be creating a billion-dollar company. But these big dreams, who do you share those dreams with, right? So my friends growing up, I'm still friends with the UPS driver and the school teacher and, you know, the people that work over at the city. These are all my buddies. I hang out with these guys all the time, but I don't necessarily go and share my entrepreneurial dreams with them. Well, here at Haney Biz, and we go Haney, you know, going hanging with Haney and Haney Biz hands on, you're able to share those dreams. It's not, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's okay to dream big, guys.
And
it's not
magical.
It is.
I've been in the room and you just watch it happen, and it's you can't put your finger on it, but it's a different level of energy that people come out of the room with. It's very cool.
It is. And there's, you come out with energy and you come out with ideas, you come out with a plan, and entrepreneur, you find out that other entrepreneurs want to help you, which is like, you might not think that normally, but entrepreneurs really want to help one another. It's kind of like a kindred spirit.
Right. Well, and I guess along those lines, one of the things that we're looking at in the future, maybe you want to talk a little bit about this, is, you know, the stories you tell and the permission to dream that you give to people. It's not just a Sacramento thing, right? There's entrepreneurs all over the country that, you know, are really hungry for this kind of energy, support, enthusiasm.
Without a doubt. I think that we can't, there's hometowns all over America that are not that dissimilar, and there's entrepreneurs all over America that really share in these same things. And I have friends in all areas of the country, my old world, my old businesses. We had a national business, and so a lot of my old buddies listened to the show, and we've been getting this sort of calling to help share this on a wider range. So we've started this Hanging or Banging podcast, whereby, you know, we're already putting everything on podcast now, so we can, you know, it can be listened to all over the country, but, you know, how do we take that to another level? So we're going to be redoubling our efforts on the podcast, redoubling our efforts through digital media and social media to bring our message to a broader audience. I'm really looking forward to that, Monique. With your help, I think we can make a big impact.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So just thinking about some examples of winning that I see here in Sacramento, right? There's things, you know, we talk about Sacramento all the time, but it's really, it's the hometown, and it's the patriotic feeling. I always think about why we're doing this show, and, you know, everybody, I mean, don't we all have like an ethical or moral obligation to reach our full potential? Mm-hmm. And it's tough to reach your full potential in any way, but it's impossible to reach your full potential alone, don't you think?
I totally agree. And I think that power of with is probably one of the more powerful messages that you carry into the community and that our team really resonates with. I mean, I think whenever you lock elbows with someone and, you know, have a shared goal, you can accomplish 100 times more than you could alone. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm glad to be part of the team helping the entrepreneurs in our region.
That's what it's all about. We're sharing a message. Monique, thank you for joining me. You're part of me redoubling my commitment to the entrepreneurial revolution right here in our hometown. You're part of what is really happening here at Haney Biz and helping so many entrepreneurs, to be the best that they can be, to unleash their potential. Coming up in the show after the break, we're going to continue this theme. We're going to bring on Josh Wood. He is the CEO, the founder of Region Business. Region Business is one of those groups that really looks out for the entrepreneur, looks out for the business community here in our region, because we all know that entrepreneurship is what's cool about business. Coming up, we will do that. We will. If you want a little more Mark Haney, some people don't want more Mark Haney. If you want more Mark Haney, go to haneybiz.com, find us on social media, and this whole thing is brought to you courtesy of Audi Rockland, DCA Capital, and all of our sponsors. This is the Mark Haney Show.
We are back with your entrepreneurial weekend wake-up call. It's Mark Haney time. And welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Every one of us has something special inside. And Mark Haney has a knack for helping us see the greatness we have inside. He is the entrepreneur next door. And this is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of Hub International and Legion AVS. I'm Mark Haney. I'm joined by Josh Wood. He is the ultimate influencer of business development here in the Sacramento region, co-founder and CEO of Region Business. Josh, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing awesome.
Okay, so did you grow up wanting to be in this economic development, advocating for business? Is that what you grew up? Is that your dream?
Yeah, my dad was an entrepreneur. He had his own construction company that he started, and I just kind of got that DNA from him. It was all about, I knew I was going to do something related to business, and my job became helping bring entrepreneurs together and business leaders together so that we could make results that helped grow the economy and create jobs.
And it's beginning to happen. What do you see now in our hometown? What do you see at the moment?
Well, I see a lot of progress. Things have, you know, really what it comes down to is, with the arena going downtown, that brings 2.1 million new visitors downtown every single year, $11.5 billion of economic activity. You see the King's Hotel, projects going up across the region because of that. You know, you have GSAC that came in, and now we're recruiting businesses and growing entrepreneurship here in this region. And then we've got, you know, a lot of jurisdictions adopt RISE, so they're taking money that they're holding in their cities, and they're putting them in local banks to reinvest in growing entrepreneurship and creating jobs and investment. So it's kind of, this is probably the most exciting time to be doing what I'm doing, because it seems like people have really embraced that vision.
Yeah, the program that it's called RISE, right? You get the banks to invest, the cities and the municipalities put money in the local community banks, and then that money's redeployed out to us entrepreneurs. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's working out. And then one of the exciting things this morning, we just announced with us, GSAC, and the city of Elk Grove, Mi Rancho is doing an expansion to Elk Grove, 250 new jobs, 150,000 square foot tenant improvement to expand that building with a one-day building permit.
One-day building permit. Yeah, keeping things streamlined, so important. I think of our entrepreneurs, when you have an idea, you want to get it done now. You don't want to wait around to wait through the bureaucratic red tape. You want to act. Well, let's talk about the issue of the day. You're working on something as relates to rent control. What are you working on?
Yeah, well, there's a group of people who, you know, we've had so much success. Everyone wants to be in Sacramento, and so we've had this huge influx of people from the Bay Area, which is, you know, it comes with positives and negatives. It's more people who have a technology background who can help grow our local technology economy, and that's a great opportunity. But we've also had, you know, rents go up because we have more people and supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And so what it's created now is a discussion on, you know, what's the way to solve that? Do we institute new regulations in order to cap rents, which we don't think is the way to go? Or do we take this moment and figure out a way how to invest in creating more housing. And this crisis is actually a huge opportunity for us to take those concepts that we see happening in some of the cities like Elk Grove and Rancho Cordova, streamline that process and make it so entrepreneurs want to come in here, build new housing, and really provide the top level type of city we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all about entrepreneurship. So I love that you're driving this question back to the entrepreneur and to the small business people, because small business people create the jobs, right? That's where it all happens. But as rents go up, who does that affect? Who are we talking? Let's talk about both sides of this issue here. So rents go up. That's tough. It's tough for employees to find places to live that's close to their where they work. But on the other hand, it's a free market economy. Why would the government want to control us?
Yeah, it's a catch-22. If rents go up, it makes it more difficult for those people to stay in those units, right? At the same time, on the other hand, if rents go up, it means that we can do more vertical development downtown that will help us attract even more companies. So we have to figure out how do we ease that process. And that means that we need to bring in more housing. We need to develop more housing. And that means building on that supply by streamlining the process, which we can do and we've proven we can do. And then taking, you know, the dollar's valuable. And I think, you know, everyone in business knows that it's at the end of the day, it comes down to profit and figuring out how to fund a project, how to get investment. And so we need to do this in a way that makes it so that banks and lenders can invest in these projects so that we can build them. And I think there's some the smart ways that we can do that. Here's one example. To build a apartment, you know, or multifamily type of project downtown, we're talking about $800 a month if you spread it over the lifetime of the project in government fees. That means in my rent, if I'm paying $2,000 a month, $800 of that is coming just from government fees. If we can just attack that issue and improve that, reduce those fees, streamline that process, we can actually make it so that we can make rents even more affordable, build more housing, and keep attracting people here, which is great. The arena's worked. You know, we have a renaissance downtown. We're going to get an MLS soccer team. People want to be here, so let's figure out a way to do it.
Right. Now, is there room to build these houses, or is there enough land, I suppose, is the question.
Yes, here's a perfect example. Let's just take Sac City, for example. SACOG projections, that's our Sacramento Area Council of Governments, it's our regional MPO, they project 20,800 units just to go downtown in order to help us meet our greenhouse gas goals. They already know and have looked at the land and know that we can put the units downtown. That's just downtown Sacramento, 20,000 units. That's not counting all the land we have in, you know, Del Paso Heights, all the land we have in South Sac, and then all of these aging commercial corridors. What we see is this transition's happening with, you know, retail, and so we have these commercial corridors, and that's bringing an opportunity for us to redo those buildings, make them mixed use, have retail down on the bottom floor and housing up top. That'll make those projects even more successful, bring revitalization to those neighborhoods. So there's a lot of opportunity for us to do that. There's tons of opportunity and tons of open space for us to develop. What it comes down to is we just have to make it so that those financials work for those projects.
Yeah, and thinking about, you mentioned your alliance with GSAC earlier, so you think about what's happening for our hometown. There are people advocating for people to relocate here to our hometown, and then we have entrepreneurs who are trying to grow from within. What are you seeing now in terms of the growth and the confidence in Sacramento?
I've seen it. A huge amount of growth and confidence. Let's just talk about the companies who are here. You know, we have we have like a region technology board. And we're seeing from a lot of those young entrepreneurs, people, you know, breaking away from some of the major companies in this region, starting their own companies, having really neat ideas and hiring employees and growing. There's a lot of excitement around investing here because, frankly, the quality of life in Sacramento is awesome, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's a safe place. It's, you know, we have great schools, we have fun attractions now, you know, downtown that make it a place that people want to be. So what we just have to do now is just take that next step.
Yeah, you're facing some of the tough issues. How do you bring the different constituents together to solve these crazy things? Is it just turn it over to what happens at the, you know, at the polling or at the voter in the voter booth? Or can you bring all the different sides together to work together?
Yeah, you know, what we found is we've been able to build really broad-based bipartisan coalitions, business and labor and community organizations on every single issue we've dealt with. What I found often is that people just don't go and talk to each other.
Yeah.
But when you talk to people, you disarm them. You can't hate someone up close.
Yeah.
So you end up figuring out, well, there is common ground. And it may be a different reason why we want to be on the same side of an issue, but there's so much that we agree on. You know, we've worked a lot with, you know, bringing coalitions together on issues. We just recently helped with the Wilson Rancheria in Elk Grove, where you know, where we have, you know, the building trades and environmental organizations and business leaders all working together saying, hey, this is going to create jobs. It's going to create, you know, 5,000 new jobs in this area. It's going to, you know, spur economic activity. This is the type of thing we want. I think the big thing is you have to just go be willing to have those conversations. And sometimes, you know, people, you know, think politics is about dividing people. No, it's about bringing them together. Like you say, the power of with.
Yeah, working together, the power of with. And it all begins with a conversation. I mean, we always ask the question, for entrepreneurs, are you hanging or banging, right? So that's kind of the question when we're at our very best. So for Josh Wood, bringing people together, I know that that's when you're at your very best. And we really appreciate what you do for our community, Josh, what you're doing for our hometown that we love. When we return, we'll be joined by the Senior VP of the California Apartment Association, Deborah Carlton, as well as Bruce Hester. He's an entrepreneur and a property owner. We're going to dive a little bit deeper into this rent control issue and see what's happening from real world people who own some property. Join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com. This is the Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to your entrepreneurial wake-up call. Mark Haney is living proof that nobody goes through life undefeated. His failures have defined his philosophies. His successes have defined his mantras. And through his stories, we are awakened to our own true potential. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is The Mark Haney Show.
Welcome back to The Mark Haney Show, brought to you courtesy of DSA Technologies and California Growth Advisors. I'm Mark Haney, and today I am joined by both Deborah Carlton. She is the voice of the single family and multifamily housing industry. She is also the senior VP of the California Apartment Association, and she is joined by Bruce Hester. He is the acquisition guru and property owner and an entrepreneur. Look forward to hearing your stories and talking about what's going on right here in Sacramento, what you see. Well, why don't we start with you, Deborah? Tell us about what you do over at the apartment group and what you're seeing right here in the region.
So my responsibility with the California Apartment Association is to represent single-family rental property owners as well as the large apartment owners and managers at the state capitol.
Okay.
So we're convincing, you know, the legislature not to do things that overregulate the industry.
You are a lobbyist.
I am a lobbyist, uh-huh. Yes. That's another word for it, yes.
Okay. So right now there's Josh and I were talking about the rent control issue. I have to imagine the apartment owners probably care about that a little bit.
We care about that a lot. I mean, that is probably the single most dangerous situation for the rental housing industry. And we absolutely get it. The markets are very tight right now. It's been very hard to develop and build new housing. There's a lot of opposition to building new housing, and it takes forever. So there's been a demand for rent control in many jurisdictions. And now I think in November we're going to see a statewide proposition asking the voters to allow cities to do whatever they want when it comes to rent control.
Okay, but when you brought in Bruce Hester, he is an investor, an expert in commercial real estate. How you doing, Bruce?
Just fine, Mark.
Thanks
How
for
are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you. Now, you are a property owner. She described this rent control issue as dangerous. How do you feel about it?
I agree 100%. Okay. Now, I've been in real estate in the apartment industry for 40 years, and I believe in the apartment industry, have sold apartments for the last 40 years for clients, being a broker, and have invested in it personally with the idea that down the road it was going to help us for our retirement and other things too.
Right.
And now we're finding that might not be the case if these rent control issues come into effect. So it not only in the long run hurts property owners, but it'll also in the long run, it'll most likely hurt the tenants themselves.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about you. You're an entrepreneurial guy and you have kids. You're just like a regular guy. When we think sometimes of people who own apartments, we think of maybe the rich and famous, but it's just got people with kids and grandkids trying to pay for education, stuff like that. How do you think this kind of thing might affect you?
Well, I think it's going to affect me a great deal if it goes through. We're not large apartment owners. We own some small apartment complexes. However, most of our money goes for paying for expenses, goes for paying for debt service, and our return isn't that great. It's like maybe 5%. And so we're using that number as a number to retire on. And if we're if this control that we can't master our own destiny by having rent control come into effect, then, you know, might be the point that we have a negative cash flow down the road. We can't do things to improve our properties, like putting in new roofs or any kind of new driveways or whatever. And if we can't do those things, then the quality of living for our tenants is going to go down.
Well, I mean, Deborah, Bruce makes some great points there, and you obviously advocate on that side of the coin. But what about the other side, the people that are, you know, getting priced out of the market? I mean, how what's that side of the argument look like when you go to battle for the property owner? What kind of things are you facing from a opposed?
So opposite? You know, we absolutely get it. It's very challenging for individuals who cannot afford to pay the rent, or if rent's going up. Right. But one of the other issues that we continually remind people about is that if there is rent control, what entrepreneur is going to want to invest? So think about your kids that are coming out of college, or the employees may be coming to a market when there's less housing because people are not going to invest. There will not be a number of units for our kids when they're coming out of college. There will not be new housing for people looking for a place to live. So I think it hurts everybody in the long run. It's really about supply and demand. I know that sometimes sounds like a cliche to people, but that's the only way to help everybody and to balance the market.
Well, Bruce talked about not being able to put the roof on when it's needed, and thinking about slumlords and you know, or terms that we hear out there about, hey, these guys don't fix up their apartments, or they don't, their housing is almost uninhabitable. Excuse me. Like, you see those stories now, but this is going to cause it to even get worse, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If you look at cities that had the most stringent forms of rent control back in the 70s, like in Berkeley, you know, you hear about some of the people our age who went to the university there. They said the housing was just, you know, not a nice place to live. You know, owners are required under state law to do the bare minimum. But, you know, if you can't fix things and make them look nice, or continue the painting, or put in the new carpet, that's just the things that they're going to cut corners on. And that's very unfortunate.
Yeah. And Bruce, you know, you think about here in the entrepreneurial world, you know, we want to be where the action is, where it's cool, and we want to have cool places to live. So we need to have housing that is needs to be affordable, but it also needs to be cool and tied to, you know, bringing in the jobs for economic growth.
Right, and if you have rent control, then the owners don't have the money to improve the properties. And if you don't have the money to improve the property, what's going to happen to the quality of life of people who move into your apartments? They're not going to have the quality of life. So that's one of the reasons why rent control, besides the fact that it almost cuts off completely any kind of new construction. So in the long run, it acts as a negative attribute instead of a positive attribute.
Well, what can be done? Is there a compromise solution that keeps the government out of our life?
Well, you know, our problem in Sacramento is, I believe, that we're the of all the 20 largest metropolitan areas in the United States, we have the least amount of apartment building in those 20 cities. So there's got to be a way, if these other cities have learned how to allow more building of apartments, we need to do the same thing, and especially since we're getting such an influx of renters coming from the Bay Area and moving here, we're not building enough units. I think we're something like 3,300 units a year short. And if you quit building those, then next year you might be 10,000 short. So that's the opposite direction we want to go.
Build more apartments. Deborah, you know, we only have a minute left. So closing thoughts, what should we be as consumers or as small business people? How should we think about this situation?
Well, if we want to continue to grow our economy, we have to bring the housing with it. You know, you can't offer tax incentives to businesses and entrepreneurs and not say, wait a minute, we need a place for people to live at the same time. So there has to be a balance. And I know Josh talked earlier about the importance importance of balancing jobs and housing. That is something we don't do very well. And that's my job at the state capitol, is to make sure that we continue to create that balance.
Yeah. Bruce, closing thoughts?
I would say that this is a fantastic city to live in. I would like, when I first moved here, there was only 750,000. Now there's 2 million. I would like to see it continue, and I'm worried that rent control will not go in the right direction.
Well, I want to thank you, Deborah, Bruce, for coming on the show today, sharing your thoughts, sharing your vision for our hometown. When we return, we will share our takeaways, closing thoughts, join the revolution at HaneyBiz.com, courtesy of Ethan Conrad Properties and financial advisor Stifel Financial. This is The Mark Haney Show. So here
we go. We are back with Mark Haney, the man whose mission statement is tattooed to his soul. With future generations in mind, he will create opportunity for his family, for his friends, and for his community. He is the entrepreneur next door, and this is the Mark Haney Show.
Mark Haney Show, we are back. I am here with my main man, Marcus Haney. Been talking about all kinds of issues today, Marcus. We've been talking about the new name of our show. We've got some new intros. We've reflected back on how we started this thing and a little reminiscing, but always looking to the future. And as I think about the entrepreneurial life cycle, right? We all start off with this incredible dream. We obsess on it, and we have all these obstacles, right? We have to overcome enough of these obstacles. And if we do, as we do, you know, anything is possible. And I feel like, you know, that's what today reminds me of. It's like that breakthrough moment when you suddenly realize you're ready to redouble your efforts on your dream, and it's that magical feeling you get when the dream is in the process of coming true. And I think with Monique Brown coming on the show, with you, Marcus, here, we're talking about some obstacles that are facing us, like rent control, and how we work together to solve these issues. We're all at different stages. Thoughts?
Yeah, well, I'm really interested in seeing that tattoo that you got.
That mission statement. It's in my lower back.
Okay, I wasn't sure where you got it. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really interested.
It says opportunity.
Oh, perfect, perfect. Hashtag. You know, just hearing from Josh Wood and how he got the process from a couple of years ago when he talked to us about this one-day building permit that he had in flux. Yeah. And he had the opportunity to share with us today that is coming through with a vengeance, really changing the landscape for Sacramento. So just watching that transitional period of where our city looks like it's going, it's like, man, it's opportunity on the lower back for sure.
People coming together, people that have these dreams, they have these things that start off as they seem like long shots. You talk about a one-day builder permit. Now that's happening
right.
In cities. You know, it's starting to happen here in our hometown. And I think it's happening for entrepreneurs, and it's happening here at Haney Biz as well. It reminds me of the Rascal Flatts song, Feels Like Today. I don't know if you've heard that song or not, Marcus, but the other day, just a couple of days ago, and I'm wearing my Power of With shirt. I don't know if you have talked about this on the show too much, but I was 2 years ago, we were a year into the show, and I was thinking about buying this company in Texas, and it was going to basically change things. And I got outbid. I lost the bid, and I was unable to buy that company in Texas. And I was really disappointed at the time, but we had been doing the radio show for about a year. We had broken through some of the nervousness and some of the obstacles, and losing that bid for that company in Texas, it made me redouble my efforts, redouble my commitment to the Haney Biz project and now the Mark Haney Show. And I think today I'm feeling even more committed. The other day, when you start hearing people use Markisms, right? When you start hearing people use some of your words, the other day on Facebook, people are wearing their hanging or banging shirts and posting it and talking, hey, Mark, I'm banging, right? It's gratifying, you know, and you see all the stuff happening with Marky Media and getting recognized, even Starbucks recognizing me, right? So it's happening. And the other day, I'm up here talking to Monique. We're sort of talking about what's going on here at Haney Biz. And I looked out my window, you know, inside Mark Tank here. It's this big office with windows that sort of look out over the team and all the operations here at Haney Biz. And I looked out, and some of the teammates were holding up a sign saying, Mark, come down here. And I'm like, what are they talking about? So I went down there, to say what was going on. And as I got down there, I came down the stairs, and everybody was wearing these black shirts. And on the black shirt, it said, the power of with, right? The power of with, a Marxism, right? Something I've been talking about for the last 3 years, now starting to catch on here at Haney Biz, and even beyond, right? It's even happening all over Sacramento, even on some of the toughest issues we're trying to battle, and you know, we're finding a way to come together. We don't have to be apart on these issues. There are so many things that we agree on. If we can focus on those, we can make anything happen, right? We can move mountains. So anyway, I just want to thank you for what you're doing, Marcus. Thank my teammates for stepping up, for beginning to come together in a way that really is making an impact for entrepreneurship here in our region. So just as we look out to the next several years, the next 3 years, special shout out and salute to all the leaders of hometown patriotism, all the people that are out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. To the 13 stripes and to the 50 stars and to that one big American dream, always worth fighting for, yours. Never above you, never below you, always by your side.